Starting here at the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Bet, by the beginning of the third parak, Hamizbeach. So here the parak is going to first discuss the size, the layout of the Mizbeach, something that we spent a lot of time on in the Gemara and Zvachim. And then from there, it's going to go back to discussing some of the layout of the Azara. Hamizbeach haya ashloshim v'shtaim, ashloshim v'shtaim. Mizbeach, the base of the Mizbeach, was 32 amot by 32 amot. Ala ama v'kenes ama. So when it went up one amah, then it moved in an amah, meaning that you had a block of 32 by 32 that was an amah high, which formed the yisod. Remember from the Gemara in Zvachim, they actually put in pieces to block it on the southern side as well as on the eastern side because there was no yisod on the south and eastern side. But then you have a block of 32 by 32 on top of that. They put another block of shloshim v'shloshim, a 30 by 30 block, ala chamesh, that was 5 amot tall. So that block of 30 by 30, 5 amot tall, then it's kenes amah. They go in another amah, zeh soveiv, that creates the soveiv. So the protrusion at the bottom of the amah around is the yisod. Then 6 amot up from the ground, meaning 5 amot up from the sod, you have the soveiv. The soveiv is also another amah protrusion that allows the Kohanim to walk around the Mizbeach. Nimtza kavchet al kavchet. Then you have another block that's placed on top of that of 28 by 28. That 28 by 28 is 3 amot tall. So that gets you to 9 amot in total. And then you have the karanot. Makom karanot, amah mizeh v'amah mizeh. The karanot themselves are an amah cubed. That amah cubed is on every corner that gets you the 10 amot of the height of the Mizbeach. Nimtza Kafrav al kavkav, makom iluch ragle kohanim. That makes it 26 by 26 is the place where the kohanim can walk around, because that's inside the kranot. And that means if you take an amah all around for the kohanim to walk around, amah mizeh mizeh, it's a kavdalet al kavdalet, makom amaracha. And then you end up with 24 by 24 as being the center of the mizbeach, makom amaracha, the place where you can put the pyre on. Amar Rabbi Yossi, mitchila lo haya elo kavchet al kavchet. In the beginning, meaning the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melech was only 28 by 28. And then it went up on the same stair-stepped manner as you have by the Mizbeach. So if you start with our base, which is 32 by 32, you ended up with a Maracha that was 24 by 24. If you do the same thing starting from 28 by 28, which is 4 amot less, you're going to end up with a Maracha that is 4 amot less, meaning 20 by 20. That's exactly what he says. So the fact is, by the time of Shlomo, according to B.O.C., that the base of the Mizbeach was Kavchet al Kavchet, Koneis Volev Mitazu, Ad Shimsram Amo Maracha, Kaf al Kaf. So we find that the Maracha is 20 by 20. Shulu Bnei Agula, Osif Olav, Arba Amot, Min Atzafon, Arba Amot, Min Amarav. When the Bnei Agula came up, they added on 4 Amot on the northwestern side, to Min Gemeh, like a right angle, in order that the Mizbeach cover over the Shittim, and allow the Nisachim to flow directly down to the Shittim from below the Mizbeach. We learned that in the Gemara and Zvachim. They were Doresh that Ma'achila by Mizbeach. So too, the Shtiyah should be on the Mizbeach and go directly down into the Shittim.
Shneemar, Variel, Yudbet, Orech, Bishtemisri, Rochav, Ravua. So here they quoted the Pasuk from Yechezkel, and we've said this before, that when they built the Mikdash in the second Bayit, they used the Bayit of Shlomo HaMelech as a base, and they used things that were proportional to that. Plus, they used things from Psukim and Yechezkel for Bayit Shlishi. Between the two of them, they came up with the format for the Bayit Sheni. So here for the Mizbeach and the Bayit Shlishi in Yechezkel, it says, Variel, referring to the Mizbeach, is Yubet Orech B'Shtemisei Rochav, it's 12 by 12. Rabua, Yocho She'enu Elo Yudbet Al Yudbet, I would think it's 12 by 12. Shomer Al Arbat Riva'av, to with four directions. Vomeid Shemina Emtza Umodeid, it's counting from the center. Outward. So it's 12 amot outward in each direction from the center. Dabet amado choruach. So if you do that, you get a maracha that is 24 by 24. And that's what the Bnei Agola did when they built the second bayit. They built a maracha of 24 by 24, which lands you with the base of Mizbeach. That's 32 by 32. In the past, I mentioned that Rav Yoel Bin Nun has a suggestion that when they came up, it says that they had three Nevi'im that came up with them. One of them told them that they are allowed to be makriv korbanot afopi she'ein bayit. They're allowed to put on the korbanot even though there was no bayit, meaning that they brought on the mizbeach korbanot before the building of the Beit HaMikdash was complete. But when you don't have a bayit and you don't have an ol moed or a petach ol moed, then where is it that you adjust the mizbeach?
His suggestion is that only when you have a petach ol moed and a panim to the mizbeach can you have a place where everything happens. And that is true in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash in the southwestern corner. In the southwestern corner, the western side is lifnei ol moed, the south side is the panim of the mizbeach. That makes the southwestern corner the important corner. That's where everything happens. That's where the svalim are for the nisuchim. That's where the holes, we're going to see in a second, the kavim for the yisod are. That's where a lot of the avoda is done, in the mikdash, on that southwestern corner. But when you don't have a petach ol moed, you don't have that. You don't have that corner. So what do? The Rabbi Benun's suggestion, based on the mizbeach that they found by Har Eival and Har Grizim of the time of Yoshua, that they actually make it into a diamond to follow the Ruchot Olam. They make it into a diamond, so therefore the center of the mizbeach becomes the point where everything meets. So he suggests that when they first came up from the Gola, they actually made the mizbeach as a diamond because there was no petach ol moed. Later on, when they built the bayit around the mizbeach, then there was a petach ol moed and upon the mizbeach, they squared out the mizbeach. And that's why the mizbeach went from being a maroch of 20 by 20 or a base of 28 by 28 to 32 by 32 in order to square out the mizbeach. That's his suggestion about why it changed from the time they started building the Mikdash till the time that they finished the Mikdash. I sent out the pictures again so you could see how that works out. The Mishnah then says, V'chut shel sikra chol gro be'emtza, wrapped around the center of the Mizbeach is the chut shel sikra, at the center line, that means it's 5 amot up from the base, 1 amah below the sovev, because the sovev is 6 amot off the ground. That line is mavdil ben adamim ha'elyonim, the damim ha'taktonim. Between the damim, they have to be on the upper half of the Mizbeach, and the damim, they have to be on the lower half of the Mizbeach. That's the center line of the Mizbeach to tell you what's considered above and what's considered below. The Yisod went on the whole northern side and the whole western side. And it ate up an ama on the southern side and an ama on the eastern side. All right, just a note, when we said over here that the Yisod ran on the western side and the northern side, and then it says it eats an ama up into the eastern side and an ama into the southern side. The Mishnah says that there was no Yisod on the southeastern side. What that means is subject to Machloket Rishonim. The Rambam here in the Perush Mishnayot has an unusual Shita, in that he thinks that he draws a picture of Yisod around everywhere except for the southeastern corner. Except for that little bit in the southeastern corner, that's the only place that there is no Yisod. It's a very difficult Shita. It doesn't seem to fit into the Mishnayot here. But the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot draws a picture that looks like that. The real Machloket, what makes more sense, is the Rashi and the Tiferet Yisrael. Rashi and the Tiferet Yisrael argue about what it means that it extended an ama into the eastern side and an ama into the southern side. Does that mean that it just projected outwards? It continued along the western side and then it just extended out an ama. And that was also on the eastern side when it extended out an ama. And the same thing went on the northern side. It went down to the eastern side. When it reached the eastern side, it just projected out an ama. That's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it, which is Rashi explains, is that it actually turned the corner. It turned the corner and there was an ama that went into the next side. So you had it all along the western side, turns the corner, goes an ama into the southern side. Same thing with the northern side. Comes all the way along the northern side, turns an ama, and goes into the eastern side. So actually three different opinions about how the Yisod was laid out. Then more about the Yisod. Uvekerim arvi drumit, in the southwestern corner, ayu shnei nikavim. There were 2 holes in the Yisod, kamin shnei chotmim, like 2 nostrils, dakim, very small, shadamim nitanim, ayisod marvi, ayisod drumit. The leftover damim were poured there. The basic principle is that any damim that are done inside of the ol moed, then the closest point when you come out is the yisod ha-maravi, the western side of the yisod, and you pour the extra, the leftover sheirei adam into the yisod ha-maravi. Anything that was done on the mizbeach, then the closest point when you descend from the mizbeach is the yisod ha-drumi, the southern side of the yisod, because that's the front of the mizbeach. And therefore those damim are poured into the hole on the southern side. Yodim behem, they go down there, umitarvim ba'ama, they mix together below, and ama below, yotzin the Nachal Kidron, and they go out to Nachal Kidron. The Gemara in Yoma says that they used to sell the sewage or the waters that came out to Nachal Kidron because they were high in protein, good for fertilizer. They used to sell them to the farmers, obviously because of the blood and all the other things that flowed out from the Mizbeach to Nachal Kidron. Mata beritzpah, on the ground next to the Mizbeach, oto keren, in that same side, makoma yasham ama alama. It was an ama space with tavla shel shayish There was a marble stone that covered up that space of an amah ba'amah. V'tabat hayak v'abba. There was a ring on that amah ba'amah to pull it out. Shibo yordim l'shit. From there, you were able to descend into the sheet, uminakin oto, and that's where they cleaned it out. We discussed this in the Gemara Me'ila itself, the machloket between the Tanaim about exactly what happened over here, whether it went down to the sheetim, or there was actually a capture spot there, where all the nisukim got together, and whether they had to clean it out or didn't have to clean it out, that we discussed already in the Gemara in Me'ila. Once in 70 years, the Gemara Me'ila says they used to send the Pirchei Kuna, the youngsters down, because it was a small area to get through. So they used to send them down once in 70 years. Then there is Vekevish. There was a ramp by Yadid Dromo that was on the southern side, Shul Mizbeach, Lamed Bet, Arochav Ted Zayin. It is 32 amot long and 16 amot wide. So Revuva Haitalo Bimaravo, there was a small window on the western side of the Kevish of the ramp, Shemayunotnim Psulei Chatatov. It's a small window in Amma by Amma where the Chatayu Ta'of that went bad, that have to wait for Ibur Tzurah. You're not allowed to burn them, put them to Beit HaSreifa because it's not a psul begufo. Whatever the reason for the psul is, because it's a fake, they leave them there until they Ibur Tzurah, they lose their form, and then they can burn them at that point in time. Regards to the Kevish, we discussed this in the Gemara in Zvachim, but the 32 Amot, according to almost everyone, is 32 Amot on the ground. That's 32 amot is the baseline of the ramp, the kevish. The Rambam has an unusual opinion that the ramp itself was 32 amot. The math doesn't work because you need the combination of the mizbeach and the ramp to be 62 amot. We know already that the mizbeach base was 32 amot. And then the kevish, so the Rambam wants to suggest the base of the kevish is 30. That gets you your 62. And the hypotenuse of the kevish is 32. But because of the angle, it does not work, because it's 9 amot high. You do Pythagorean theorem, it does not come out to 32 amot. But the Gemara in Zvachim answers that how is it possible that you have 32 amot as the base of the Mizbeach and 32 amot as the base of the Kevish, and yet they only take up 62 amot of floor space? That's because the Kevish, in order to reach the top of the Mizbeach, it has to ride over the Yesod, and it has to ride over the Soveiv, because it's going to the top of the Mizbeach. So therefore, it leans on the Mizbeach for the Amma Yisod and the Amma Soveiv. So there's really two Amot that are shared between the Mizbeach and the ramp. So therefore, it's really 62 between the two of them in order to get the 32 base of the Kevish and the 32 base of the ramp. Echad Avnei Kevish ve'Echad Avnei Mizbeach. The stones that were used to build the ramp as well as the Mizbeach were brought from Bikat Beit Kerem. The stones that were used in the ramp and the Mizbeach, Bikat Beit Kerem, they were brought from this location. They dig down to the point where they hear virgin earth. And they bring whole stones from there. Shlo unaf aleihem barzel. They were never hewn, never touched by metal. Shel barzel posel minigia ubigima. Because barzel is posel, how to read this is a subject of machloket, whether it's metal, by touching the stones is problematic. Upgima, and pgima is a separate statement that a stone that has any crack in it or anything missing from it, that's also problematic. Or is pgima also being modified by barzel? That the barzel causes problems with pgima or pgima. The Rash over here reads it as that pgima is separate. There ain't any problem with the stone. Therefore, the chol davar, nifgima achat mehen, if one of the stones becomes problematic, it gets a crack in it, a chip in it, hipsula, that's problematic, glan sherot, and the others are kasher. Umlabnim no tapa mayim bishana. They used to whiten it. They used to whitewash it twice a year. Echad bePesach veEchad bChag. Once on Pesach, once on Sukkot. VeEchal pamachat bePesach, and EchaL only once a year on Pesach, probably after the winter months. They went ahead and they whitewashed it in to clean it up. The mizbeach needed it more often because of all the blood and all the stuff that went on the mizbeach. Rabbi Amar kol erev Shabbat umlabnim no ta bimapa. Every Erev Shabbat, they used to wipe it down with a cloth, from all the blood, so they could clean it up. They did not use a metal trowel. Metal trowel is what people use when they're spreading cement. Usually it's the triangular tool that is used to spread the cement. They did not use that when they were doing this for the Mizbeach, because Shemiga, Pifsol, maybe it'll touch the stones, and then it'll make it Pasol, Shabrazel, Nivra, the Katzer, Yamav Shel Adam. Metal was created to shorten the life of man through weapons. Mizbeach Nivra, the Arich Yamav Shel Adam. And the Mizbeach is there to bring kapara to people and to extend their lives. And therefore, it's inappropriate. And it would be din, Shenifa Mekatzer Al Arich. it's inappropriate that metal should touch the stones around the Mizbeach. If you remember from the Gemara in Zvachim, it describes how they built it. They used to put up forms like they use for concrete today, and they used to put these stones in it, and then they had this cement-like material that they used to pour in there to smooth everything out. Because again, they couldn't hew the stones. Stones weren't hewn, they weren't squared out. They were just regular, rounded, whatever shape they came out of the ground when they pulled them up. So in order to smooth it out, they had this form of seed that they poured in there to flatten out in the mold, and then they had a new mold above it. First mold was 32 by 32 an amah high. The next mold was 30 by 30, 5 amot high. The next one was 28 by 28. That was 3 amot high. And so they put these molds on top of each other, filled them up to create the mizbeach. Hey, vitabaolta yulitzvonosho mizbeach. On the northern side of the mizbeach, there were these loops that were there. Vav sodrim shel dal v'dalit. 6 rows of 4 by 4 of 4. V'yoshomrim, and some say dalit shel vav vav. Some say there were 4 rows of 6 6. Shalem shochtim et kodoshim. There are 24 there for the 24 mishmarot. Each one belonged to mishmar. We already discussed this in Tamid, that Tamid they used to do on the second row, depending on which time of day it was, opposite the time of day in the Marav or the Mizrach. But in general, the Mishmarot had their own ring that they used for shechting the animals. Machloket here between the Rambam and other Mishonim about what they were used for. The Rambam says they were used to hold the legs of the animals at the time of the Shkita. The Rash and other Mishonim say it was to hold the neck of the animal. Close over the neck so that one person could do the Shkita without the help of anybody else because the animal was locked in place by these rings. Then, v'alav, chedei amudim ninasim, you had these midget pillars that were next to them, 8 of them, urvi'im shel erez al gabayim, and you had boards of wood on top of them, of cedar wood on top of them, v'gliot shel barzel yugvin ben, and there were these hooks, metal hooks on them, v'gimel sterim ayal okal echad v'chad, there were 3 rows on each one of them, shebedayim tolim moshitim, and then you did the flaying and quartering of the animals on the tables of shayish, of marble that were next to them. In terms of the 3 rows, that Ash over here brings that the 3 rows were at different heights. The board had 3 heights depending on the size of the animal. You can pick 3 sizes of animal in the Mikdash. A kevis, which is the smallest animal, used the lowest row. The next one up was an ayo. And then you could have a par. Depending on the size of the animal, you use the 3 levels of the hooks. The other possibility is that they were actually sitting on these amudim, they were actually these triangular boards. They were boards on 3 sides. There was a board facing the eastern side, there was a board facing the south and northern side, but no board facing the western side, because if you had a board facing the western side, whoever was working would have to turn their back towards the Eichal. So they had boards on 3 sides that they could work with on these 8 amudim. That's the other possibility, what it means that they had 3 over here. Hakior. The QR sits ben ulam na mizbeach, between the ulam and the mizbeach, mashoch kavei darom. Pulled, mashoch kavei darom, pulled towards the southern side. I mean, it wasn't directly in front of the ulam, but towards where the ulam extends out beyond the echal, towards the southern side of the mizbeach, probably opposite the ramp of the mizbeach. We know that the Tano of Midot believes that the mizbeach was rubo b'darom. The robe of the mizbeach was on the southern side. I brought you, you can see the pictures that I sent you, that there are actually 4 different opinions as what that means, that the robe was found on the southern side of the mizbeach, because you can have, robe can be made up of different ways. And there is 4, there's a machloket. Rashi brings down 1 shita, he brings down a 2nd shita that's like the Rambam. There's also the shita of his Rebbe, as well as the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, exactly what it means, that rubo be darom. Yud bet malot, Ayusham, there were 12 stairs there between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that Mala Chatzi Amah, they went up 1.5 an Amah, Shokha, and the depth of a stair was an Amah. And now it explains, Amah Amah Verovid Gimel, there was an Amah and Amah, and then a 3 Amot, Amah Amah Verovid Gimel, and then another 3 Amot. I'll explain in 1 second, Ve'el Yunah, and the top one was Amah Amah, Amah Amah Verovid Dalid. So the stairs were not even, they were uneven stairs. I sent you a picture of the layout of the stairs, that the stairs were, the first 2 stairs, the depth of them was an amah each. The 3rd stair was 3 amot deep. Then again, amah, amah, and amah deep, and amah deep, and a 3rd amah deep. And then you had the 3rd set, according to the Mishnah, is an amah deep, and amah deep, and 4 amot deep. That was the one that was up by the ulam. The problem with this is that you need to get, here it says, v'yud bet malot. There were 12 stairs over here. In this description, we only described 9 of the stairs. You have the 3 and 3 at the bottom, and then you have the 4 at the top. So those are 9 stairs out of the 12. So there's a problem with this. The Rashi has a very difficult, he says I have a lot of difficulty, he doesn't understand. The most plausible explanation is brought by the Gra over here, which is that when it says Ama, Ama, Verovid Gimel, whenever a Mishnah repeats something twice, it means etc. And so that means that there were actually three sets of three. That was nine stairs. Those three sets of three had an Ama, Ama, then three Amot, Ama, Ama, three Amot, Ama, Ama, three Amot. Those were the nine stairs. Then you had the top level, which was an Ama, Ama, and then four Amot. So if you take that all together, first of all, we said every stair's height is half Ama. So on 12 stairs, that means that you gain 6 Amot of elevation. We discussed this yesterday in terms of the Eichal being 22 Amot above the level of Har HaBayit. These are 6 Amot of that elevation. In terms of extension then, you have 3, 3, and 3, which is 9, plus the 4 on the top is 13. And then you have an additional set of each one of those. You have 2 stairs, which is 8 of those, which is 8 Amot. You take that all together, you get 21 Amot. The Mishnah tells us that there were 22 Amot between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Exactly what? There was one Ama between the base of the stairs and the Mizbeach. That's according to the Tana Kama. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yona, Ama, Ama, Verovid Hei. The top one was 5 Amot deep. If you do that, then the stairs actually started right from by the Yisod of the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam, over here in the Mishnah, gives a very difficult explanation, different than everyone else, and says not that that was talking about the stairs to the Ulam Nizbeach, but rather these were projections that came out of the wall of the Ulam, that those Ama, Ama, Rov, and Gimel were these projections that came out of the wall of the Ulam, not like what we explained before, that they are the stairs. If you look in the back here, there are pictures of the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayot. You can see a picture of it. It's very difficult, his explanation. Tetchoshel Eichal, Tepetach HaCheichal was Gov'o. This is the problem in the gears here. It can't be. It has to be that the rochav was 20 amot. It was 20 amot wide. V'gov'o memama. And it was 40 amot high. V'hei milteraot shel milayu agabav. There were 5 beams of wood on top of it. Hatachtono devet ala petach amamizeh v'amamizeh. The bottom beam sticks out on both sides of the doorway and amah on each side. Shlomana meno devet ala amah. Mizeh v'amamizeh. The next one up is an amah and amah. Nimtza eliyuna. That means that the top board, if you go up 5, each time you're going up, you add on 2 amot to the width. The width of the ulam is 20 amot. If you go up 5 levels, each time adding 2 amot, you're going to add 10 amot. That means the top beam was 30 amot. It's the opposite of what you would do in a building. The boards are getting wider and wider as you get up instead of narrower. And there was a row of bricks between each one of these boards of wood. It's decorative. They were wood that they used to put decorations on. They say here that there were bricks in between those boards. It's a decorative part on top of the ulam. They had beams of wood that ran between the wall of the Eichal and the wall of the ulam, so it would not collapse. To give it support, the ulam is 100 amot high, and being 100 amot high with that type of weight bearing, they were afraid that it would collapse. So they put beams, support beams, between the Eichal and the Ulam to give structural support to the walls of the Eichal, as well as the walls, really, of the Ulam. They had these chains of gold that were hanging from the ceilings. The Pirkei Kuna used to go up there, and they saw the crowns. These were some sort of decorative area that was made that was found in palaces. They made these, or they put these into the Mikdash, these atarot, and they were there, and the young Kohanim used to climb up to see them and enjoy them. We did this back already in the Gemara and Tamid, that there was this Eitz HaChaim that was inside the Eichal. It was a gefen, a vine of Zahav, as the Rambam says, that we are Nimshalu, B'nei Yisrael Nimshalu, the gefen. And therefore they put up a gevet shel zahav, hayta omedet al pitcho shel Eichal, mudla al gabei klonosot, was held up by these beams of wood. Kol shmiu mitnadev ala, o gargir, o eshkol. You could donate gold to the mikdash, you could donate a leaf, you could donate a grape, or a bunch of grapes. Mevi, bitulemba, come and you hang it on it. When they wanted to carry it out, it took 300 kohanim. Saw this already in the Gemara Tamid, that was Derech Guzma, that it took a lot of kohanim to take it out because the weight was so significant. All right, next, we're going to just start here. We'll try to get through the first two Mishnayot here about the Pitcho Shel Eichal, and then we'll continue with the rest of that tomorrow. The doorway into Eichal gav o 20 mama was 20 amot high, brachvo 10 and 10 amot wide, like all the other doorways in the Mikdash. The ulam was the one exception, which we just discussed. Rabat al totayu lo. There were four doorways to it. Shtaim bibifnim, ushtaim bibachutz. Two on the inside and two on the outside. That's because the doorway was thick. It was depth. There was depth to the wall. The depth of the wall of the Eichal is 6 amot deep, so the doorway is 6 amot deep. There are doorways on each end of that. Shneamar, because it says in Pasuk in Yechezkel, again, they're using Yechezkel as the basis for the building or parts of the Beit Sheni. Shtaim dotot, the Eichal. There are two sets of doorways of the Eichal, or the Kodesh. Between the Eichal and the Kodesh. V'achitzonot niftachot l'tocha petach. The outer doorways opened into the door frame, meaning into those 6 amot of depth, the doorway, they opened up, the outer doorways opened up to there. But the ones on the inside, the chasot of Yosho Koto, they covered over the width of the wall of the 6 amot. V'apnimiyot, the internal doors, niftachot l'tocha bayit, they open up internally into the Eichal, and they go all the way back onto the walls on the side to cover over those walls. Shekol bayit l'tuach b'zav, the entire Eichal on the inside was plated with gold, chutz me'achar ha'daltot, besides behind the doorways, because the doorways were gold, and when you open up the doorways, they covered those walls. So you didn't have to put gold plating there, because the doors themselves became the plating for those walls. Rav Yehuda omer, tocha petach hayu umdot. Both of them opened up into the 6 amot that were between them. Ukumin itzdamaita hayu. They were like accordion doors. V'nikpalot achoyem. And they folded on amongst themselves. I mean that the doors had a hinge in the middle, and they folded on themselves. So if the doorway is 10 amot wide, you have two doorways of 5 amot. So the way the Tanakhama explains it, the 5 amot open up, and they take up the width or the depth of that door frame, because you have the mezuzot for the outer doors, the mezuzot for the inner doors. Each one of those is chatzi ama. And then the 5 amot of the doorways cover the whole internal doorway or door area that was the 6 amot deep. But the way Rabbi Yehuda is explaining it is that each door folded on itself first, which means that each door, which is 5 amot, folds on itself, gives you 2.5 amot. So you have 2.5 amot on each side. You open them up from the outer doors into that door depth, that gives you 2.5 amot. The other side, the internal doors that were on the inside of the Eichal, they also have 10 amot wide, 2 5 amot doors, they folded themselves, open up into that internal area. So between the two doorways, you took up 5 amot, plus a half a mile each for each mezuzah. So he says that everything opened up into that space, that 6 amot between the ulam and the heichal. Ve'elu shnei amot u'mechza. Those are 2.5 amot. V'chatzi amah u'mezuzah mikan. V'chatzi amah u'mezuzah mikan. So you have the 2 chatzi amot for the mezuzot. And that turns out to be the 6 amot. Shnei amar. He brings the same pasuk. V'shtayim daltot. When the shtayim daltot doesn't mean 2 doorways, but rather shtayim daltot l'daltot, shtayim musavot l'daltot, shtayim musavot daltot, shtayim l'delet achat u'shtei daltot l'acheret. The explanation of the shtayim daltot here is not that there were 2 doorways, like we said before, but rather each door was made up of 2 pieces. It was 2 doors. The 5 amot was actually made up of an accordion door that was 2 pieces. U'shnei pishpashim ayu l'shar gadol. They were 2 side doors that went into the Shara Gadol. The Shara Gadol being the Petah Eichal. Chad b'tzafon v'chad b'darom. One in the north, one in the south. We saw this in the Gemara and Tamid. Shibdarom lo niknas adam bo me'olam. The southern entrance was never used. That side door was never used. V'alav u'mi furashi de'echezkel. That's the Pasuk V'ezo. Shenemar v'yom arlay Hashem Ashar zeh saguri yeh. Lo yipateach. It will never be opened. V'ish lo yavo bo. Ki Hashem elokei Yisrael ba bo. So that's the way Hashem goes in. To show you that Hashem doesn't need the doors open. Sagur, and it was always closed. Natal et amateach. He takes the key, upatach the pishpash, he opens up the northern side door, v'nichnas, and then he goes into the ata. Umi ata le'echal. So according to the Tanakhama, in this side room, he entered into the side room on the northern side, and from that side room, he went into the Eichal. Then he opens up the Eichal doors from inside the Eichal. He opens up the internal doors, and then comes out and opens up the external doors. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer betoch uvio shokota yami alech. He walked through the depth of the wall. Ashed himself made ben shnei shiarim. Basically, he entered on the northern side door, and then instead of going all the way through the Eichal, he made a left turn. And he ends up in the depth of the wall between the ulam and the Eichal, and that's 6 amot. So that means he ends up between the inner doors and the outer doors. So he opened up the outer doors from inside, and the inner doors from outside. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He opened up the outer doors from inside, Bet HaPinimiot mibachutz, and the internal doors from outside. Okay, we'll stop here and continue tomorrow.